What is the purpose of i'tikaf? Other things that happen by the way, eating, sleeping, drinking, all that happened by the way. But the goal is something else. We open up a shop and we have certain objectives, certain goals, and everything else will happen by the way. We'll eat. Also do other things in the shop as well, but we have a certain goal why we have opened the shop. So what should be the maqsad, what should be the goal, what should be the purpose in i'tikaf? So the real purpose is that it's a special type of a relationship, special type of a bond be created between the servant and Allah Ta'ala. Special taluk. That is why the mu'takif, person who's sitting in i'tikaf, he sits in a cubicle. There's no distractions. Nothing to turn him away from the focus to Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala command that he must be in state of fasting, he must fast, so his mind is not turned away to other things. Right? Now if his mind is on eating and drinking, etc., obviously to some extent he's going to lose out. The whole day is going to be away, what I must go and eat, and what must I prepare, all that. So if his mind is moving in that direction, then he's lost out on the real purpose, the real aim, and the real goal of i'tikaf. The Nabi also secluded himself, and he was secluded from all people in a cave, sometimes 20 days, 30 days, 40 days. Whatever he needed, he would take, and then he would seclude himself. So the mind has been cleared of everybody. There isn't the thought and the picture of anything or any person in the heart. And this is the thing that obstructs the focus. When your mind is on something or some person or some objective, then it really shifts your focus, your attention. Your attention must be totally to Allah Ta'ala. So this is the actual purpose of i'tikaf. Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he says that up to the age of 18 or 20, I can't remember the exact age, my father used to keep me like a captive, like a prisoner. I couldn't move, I couldn't do my own thing. But then when I reached that age, 18 or 20, whatever the age may have been, then my father had gone to Raipur to meet Mawla Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayhi, or Mawla Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayhi. So I wrote a letter up to him. Another says that I was just pretending that I lost his companionship, and for so many years that you were together, and now suddenly you moved. Alright. So his father's reply came that you need the company of your elder as long as your relation and your bond with Allah Ta'ala is not strengthened. Once that is strengthened, your bond with Allah Ta'ala is strengthened, you've got that special type of relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then really you don't require the association and the company of your elder. And by the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala has granted you that relationship. So Now you don't require my company and you don't require my association as you have required it early on. I kept you like this so that you don't be attracted to any of the material things. If had you been attracted to this thing, that thing, whatever, the material has got an attraction. So your mind would have been turned away from Allah Ta'ala and would have been attracted to these things. As a result, your link and your relationship, your bonding with Allah Ta'ala would have been interrupted. There would have been a delay in that. But I kept you from all these things here. I kept with you, Your focus was remained just on Allah Ta'ala. Then I wanted that tree of bonding with Allah Ta'ala to grow up, to be established, to be well rooted, sprout out, you know, grow into a nice, big, strong tree. Right? Now all this I've seen. كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْقُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Like a beautiful tree, beautiful, pure tree, that its roots are well rooted into the ground, and the branches are all rising towards the sky. تُؤْتِي أُكُلْهَا. So that is a type of relationship. The relationship with Allah Ta'ala, now you are well rooted. It's well rooted in your heart. And you can see that your deeds are rising to Allah Ta'ala all the time. In other words, your focus, your attention, it's all towards Allah Ta'ala at any given time. تُؤْتِي أُكُلْهَا. There's just good that is being produced from you all the time. So when you enjoy this relationship, then this is what happens. That Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, His consciousness, His awareness is soundly rooted into your heart, and your whole focus is just towards the heaven. All towards the heaven. Everything is just towards the heaven. As though you are living here physically, but spiritually you are in heaven. I was thinking of one simple ilaj, you know. Allah Pak teaches us ilaj. We all scare death, right? Nobody can say that we don't scare death. We all scare death. That moment, inevitable moment, crucial moment. Hazrat Imam Rasulullah Sahib Rahmatullahi was advising one person. He was going through some constraints, difficulties, and some people were threatening court action and all that. Imprisonment, all that. Though he wasn't guilty, but people were threatening him with all that. So Hazrat replied to him was, alright, the worst thing that they can do is they can throw you into jail. So from now, you imagine that you are already in prison. So if you imagine you are already in prison, there's nothing to fear about. But until you don't imagine, you don't think like this, then you're always in suspense. Hey, now what's going to happen? Knock on the door. Hey, warrant of arrest. Meet someone. Unexpected. What happened? So you're always in suspense. But now mentally you prepared yourself that I am already a prisoner. I'm already in jail. There's nothing, no suspense now. I'm already in prison. So similarly, if physically we are here and spiritually we are in heaven, we are in Jannah, and things that we are there, right? So this fear of death will thereafter then be easier for us to relate to, you know, talk of death hereafter, etc. It's easier to relate to. Especially we are in heaven. All the time our mind is there, right? It's in the Akhirat all the time. So when it's in the Akhirat, to be able to relate to the Akhirat is not so difficult. Right? Things of the Akhirat, Jannah, Jahannam, Qabr, now it's all easy. Because you feel as though you're already part of that. Are you in Jannah? Are you eating of your fruit? You're walking in the rivers of Jannah, in the palaces of Jannah. So you all your mind is just walking, just around that. You're making some zikr, you're thinking how the trees are being planted. And you restrain from evil glances, you think how for every evil glance that you restrain from, you're getting one hoor. So now you created that picture of the hoor is there now. She's congratulating you. Well done, well done. She's giving you a tap in the back. So how nice do you feel? MashaAllah, yeah, I just looked after myself. I didn't talk now. And I got already one. So another one. Now this one is so exciting. What about the other one? So your mind is now working in Jannah. It's not working in this world here. You are physically here, but spiritually you are elsewhere. You're in a different plane altogether. So Sheikh's father explained to him that you require the company of your elder as long as this nisbat is not strengthened. But once it's strengthened, once it's firm, then there's always good that's emanating from you. All is good. Your goodness is all just rising all the time. إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفُو. All good works all the time are coming out of you. This relates an incident of Mawlana Sadiq al-Yaqeen Sahib. Very great alim, and he had gone to Makkah Mukarrama at the khidmat, the service of Haji Imdadullah Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. For his own reformation, own Islah, and he spent a long time, a year or 2 years he spent. And after this long duration, Haji Sahib tells him that you have not spared anything in striving, and I have also not been neglectful towards you. And the place also is such a great thing, such a great place, Makkah Mukarrama. One namaz, 50,000 or 100,000 salah, the whole Muslim ummah is facing in that direction in salah. Namaz is not even permissible if it is performed in any other direction. The pilgrimage is done here. One pillar of Islam is just done here in Makkah and around the precincts of Makkah Mukarrama. So, I have been not neglectful towards you, and nor have you not been striving. You have strived. I have done my level best to bring something into you. And the place also is so great, but it doesn't seem like the type of finish that is required is present in you. I don't see that in you. You are working towards making something or some product and you don't see the finish coming up. So the right thing is to tell the person who you are manufacturing the thing for, I have worked enough, but I don't see the thing coming out. So Ali Sabram brought it to his attention. I don't see that finish. So I advise you that you go to Gango. I imagine he's made to leave Makkah Mukarrama and live in Gango. Here he spent a month or so in Gango, and Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullahi asked him for that period that he must leave out teaching hadith and leave out practicing medicine. He was doing some hakimi things, medicine, writing prescriptions for people, so he leaves that out. So in that month or so, that type of that special goal that he was searching for, that goal was achieved. It's not that he didn't get the sawab. No, sitting for i'tikaf or something, you will get that sawab. But there's something beyond the sawab that you are looking for. See, like example, you listen to a bayan, right? So someone asks you, why are you listening to the bayan? You say, no, for sawab. But if it is only sawab, then you could have made tasbih and got the same sawab. Why did you have to listen to the bayan? So in that bayan, you are looking for something additional. What you are looking for is your spiritual sicknesses, right? What are your weaknesses and how do you rectify? This is where many a times we go wrong. The bayan becomes an entertainment. You want to listen to something juicy now, more juicy. See on what one. So then you lose the whole focus. Focus is now from looking for your spiritual problems to looking for something juicy, attractive, something exciting, something thrilling, and something entertaining. So this is where we lose our focus at times. The whole focus must be that we are looking for ilaj. So in i'tikaf, you look for a certain type of refinement in your temperament, refinement in your heart, cleanliness. Your heart is just going towards Allah Ta'ala. Degree of purity has come in, right? The thought of Allah Ta'ala is now settled in your heart. That is the first level, that the thought of Allah Ta'ala is settled in your heart. Allah Ta'ala is settled, and then that nur then spreads out throughout yourself. First it settles in your heart, and then it spreads out through the entire, to your entire body. Like how you have an essence, you know, rose essence or something, and you add it to some water. So it will come first to the base, it will come down, and as you stir it up, you will find it will spread throughout the entire water. So this essence of the love of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat, Allah Ta'ala's presence first settles in your heart. When it settles in your heart and it settled well, then as you move on now, are you moving on in righteousness? Is you moving on in the same path, in the same way that you were in i'tikaf? Now that same color begins to spread throughout your heart, yourself. The movement is like the stirring up of that essence. If you don't stir it up, it won't move right through. So you'll find that this person's whole focus will be different. Whatever he's doing, there is the flavor of Allah Ta'ala. There is the flavor of Allah Ta'ala, the sifat of Allah Ta'ala, the attributes, the qualities of Allah Ta'ala are reflected. Like that rose syrup is sent to the base, right? Then you see the color, the colors and the quality of the syrup throughout the water. Redness you will find, sweetness you will find, and the fragrance of rose will you find. You will find everywhere, right through. You just insert it, and then as you shake, the more you shake, and the more those colors will come out. So similarly, as you make the harkat after that, and you continue, once one is the i'tikaf, then the first thing is you allow that name of Allah Ta'ala to be instilled in your heart, to be instilled in your system, and then you work on that. When you work on that now, you will find that same sifat and the colors of Allah Ta'ala, sibghat Allah, will come out on you. Sibghat Allah, man ahsanu min Allah sibghat. Now you will see, this person becomes a manifestation, an expression of mercy, expression of love, kindness, right? All the sifat of Allah Ta'ala, all the qualities, those colors of Allah Ta'ala appearing on him. He's forgiving, he's pardoning, he's loving, he's kind, he's helpful, right? He's fair, he's true, he's honest. So all these sifat and all these colors will begin to then appear in the person. But then you have to give yourself a chance for that name of Allah Ta'ala to settle in your heart. Are you not giving yourself a chance? We don't give ourselves a chance. That is why they say in i'tikaf, they don't talk unless it's extremely important. You have to talk, then you talk. Otherwise you don't talk, don't get into a discussion. Right? When you are out of i'tikaf, then you have 101 different type of responsibilities. Right? You have to go to shop, you have to see to things in the house, this is not right, that is not right. Children to go to school, that must be bought, that uniform must be purchased, this person must be taken to the doctor, this must be attended to. So now, from now till the end of Ramadan is just 12 days, right? 12, 13 days. Today, inshallah, is the 18th fast, right? So there's just 12 or 13 days left. So, whatever we can achieve, try and achieve it in these 12 days. Whatever weaknesses and negligence on our side, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. And leave that aside now, after you ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and think for the future now. Whatever I couldn't manage to get now, let me try and achieve it in the remainder days. Allah Ta'ala's fazl, Allah Ta'ala's grace. We have made a broken effort, right? A broken effort. We can't even say it's a good effort, a broken effort. But Allah Ta'ala showers His mercy. We came to His house, His mercy is mentioned. That's why you see there's so much of surplus, this, that, whatever. And there's so much of surplus. That's that little intention to come and sit in His house. And Allah Ta'ala embraces us with such warmth, with so much of love, so much of warmth. Eat this, take this, and take this, and take this. See? So who is doing this? Allah Ta'ala is doing it. He is instilling the love into the hearts of people. He is giving it. Right? He is giving it, but it is, that man is just the front. Nothing more but a front. And really it is Allah Ta'ala that is giving it. So it is that hand that is giving. Look at that hand that is giving. Right? You see, when you are getting your paycheck, right? It is the boss that is giving. But the boss will have one staff in charge of the paychecks, right? He will give out the checks. But who's the hand? He's just the front. He's nothing. So you're going to kill him, you're not going to get anything. You know, he is the main person here. You're going to shout him, hey, you give me so little salaries. No. So then you see Allah Ta'ala in everything, in every walk of your life, you begin to see Allah Ta'ala. And you yourself become a manifestation, a personification of the sifat, the qualities of Allah Ta'ala, the colors of Allah Ta'ala begin to become evident in yourself. bi yasma'u wa bi yubsiru. And his listening is for Allah Ta'ala, his talking is for Allah Ta'ala. You will see in whatever he does, there is something about Allah Ta'ala. The attribute, the quality of Allah Ta'ala is becoming more and more visible. When he talks, it is visible. When he does something, it becomes visible. When he conducts himself, it becomes visible. Even to the extent, even if he's eating, it becomes visible that this person is a different person. He's a different person. Hazrat Ji Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to America, you see, and he was waiting in the queue to get his visas. Big long queue, 300-400 people, and he was right in the back. So the officer that was right inside issuing those visas, he came out and he takes Hazrat, issues him the visa, and he lets him go. So obviously others will object, "Bhai, what happened now? We're waiting here. And this man here, you pulled him out, issued him the visa, and let him go." So that officer says, white officer, American, he says, "No, when I saw this man's eyes, there was something else. He doesn't belong to this earth. He belongs to a different land. He belongs to a different plane altogether. So his eyes just caught my attention." So this is what happens after that. You're seeing, you're talking, you're eating, everything is different. Although you are with people, but your heart is not with them. Bahama, you know, you did read that word, Bahama or Behama. As though outwardly it seems that you are with people, but really you aren't with them, you are with Allah Ta'ala. Outwardly it seems as though you are with them, but really you aren't with them. Really you are somewhere else. Right? Like sometimes, an example to illustrate that you are with them but not with them. Like, example of, well, Yaqub now is going to get married, right? For example, right? He got married. Now he's thrilled about it. For the first time now, a woman coming into my life and what. So that fantasy, that excitement. So outwardly it will appear that he's with us. Right? Outwardly how it will appear that he's with us. But really where his heart is. His heart is somewhere else. Or you want to see it amongst all of us, you want to see it. Then when it's announced that the moon has been sighted, you know, Eid moon has been sighted, and we are sitting here, we're meeting everybody and all that. But where is our hearts? Outwardly it seems that we are here. The food also, if it's tasty biryani also, I'm not saying hello. I'm not worried about it. Your heart is somewhere else. We see it within ourselves. Right. So this is what happens to this Ahlullah, this godly people, Allah Ta'ala's people. And outwardly it seems that they are with us. But really they are in a different plane altogether. They are with Allah Ta'ala all the time. Though physically it seems that they are with us. So this Mawla Sadiq al-Yaqeen Sahib, and he achieved this, you know, this special bond, the special purity of that cleanliness, that refinement. You know, you feel nice. Allah grants you that refinement of that heart, clean purity, cleanliness of the heart, purity. So he got that in a month, and here Mawla Gangohi Sahib asked him not to teach hadith. And he came here for that month to teach hadith and asked him not to attend to any patient. And he found that what he was craving for and he was dreaming for, he found it in the month. He went back to Haji Sahib rahmatullahi, and Haji Sahib was really excited. So quickly, mashallah, and he's achieved it. So Hazrat says, "I was giving this talk here in a certain madrasa, and one teacher says, but Mawla Gangohi Sahib is just a murid, right? Haji Sahib was the peer. So how come Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahman achieved what Haji Sahib could not achieve? How come Mawlana Gangohi could achieve what Haji Sahib couldn't achieve? He is the factory and he is the retail. The factory couldn't get it, and the retailer got it. How did it happen? So Musa Rahman explained that the actual answer is known to Allah Ta'ala, or known to these people that were involved. Right? That the real answer is known to them. But the simple explanation that comes to my mind is this, that Harisa Brahma had sent him to Gango.
Right.
And Mawla asked him to leave out teaching hadith and asked him to also leave out seeing two patients. Leave these two things out. Right? And the reason why he is asking to leave out these things here is the mind mustn't go to anything else. Mind must be just onto the path, onto this Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Right? You're sitting in the i'tikaf also, Allah Ta'ala, whether it's muraqabah, you're meditating, whether you're reading Quran Sharif, or whether it's tasbih, zikr, whatever. But the common denominator is that you're thinking about whatever situation you're thinking about Allah Ta'ala. Getting up in the same frame of mind. You aren't allowing your mind to think elsewhere, go elsewhere. Sometimes mistakenly it will go, but deliberately you won't allow your mind to go anywhere else. Just keep Allah Ta'ala at heart. So that must be established in the heart. After all, we are here for Allah Ta'ala. Inna lillah. Don't we say inna lillah? We belong to Allah Ta'ala. And don't we say that we lillahi mulku samawati wal ardh, the entire kingdom belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Everything belongs to Him. Now at least we need to endeavor and need to try to make ourselves for Allah Ta'ala. So let Allah Ta'ala come deep into our hearts, deep into our minds. And let that color of Allah Ta'ala thereafter spread into our entire body. First it will come here, and then it will spread to the entire body. So now we've just got these 12 days. Now let's endeavor in that direction. So he came here to this Mawla Sadiqul Yaqeen came here. It's not that Harisa Brahmatullahi didn't pick it up, that this was the problem. It was not that. Right? It wasn't that. Harisa Brahmatullahi had known about it, perhaps, right? That this is the problem, and this is why this person is not getting that type of fulfillment and completion. That finish is not in him. Right? So then he asked, what is the reason? What was the reason that Harisa Brahmatullahi did not say it to him directly? If this was the thing that was stopping, you know, that he is teaching hadith, so his mind is elsewhere. He is attending to patients, so his mind is elsewhere, right? So he's not getting the type of completion. Why didn't Harisa Brahmatullahi tell him directly? This is your problem. Why did you have to send him from Makkah right to Gango? Others say that the right answer is known to the people that were involved. Allah Ta'ala knows the exact answer. But the answer that comes to my mind is this, that Harisa Brahmatullahi was not teaching hadith, right? And nor was he seeing to patients. He was not teaching hadith, and nor was he seeing to patients. If Harisa Brahmatullahi had told him that you must discontinue hadith and discontinue looking at patients, so this person would have heard Harisa Brahmatullahi, would have heard and would have listened to Harisa. But there would have been a little bit of a hurdle in his heart. Okay, how come the man is asking it not to teach hadith and not to look at patients? Because Harisa himself is not a muhaddis, right? And he is not a doctor, not a physician. So because he's not a physician and not a muhaddis, this type of questions could come up in his heart. And when those questions do come up in the heart, there will be an obstruction. There will be a hurdle on the way, right? And that hurdle is a difficult thing, it's a dangerous thing. See, in the path you don't require any hurdle. Between you and your sheikh, you don't require a hurdle. You've got a hurdle, now you find that the progress becomes difficult. Why is the sheikh saying this? How can he say this? So these type of questions, when they do come about, then you'll find a hurdle, you can't find progress. See, it must be such that what he's saying, and your mind is just taking it. As he's saying, your heart is just taking it. Hurdle, or why did he say this? And it right what he's saying? Where did he get this from? So this is a whole, it's like a matab, it's like a pharmacy, see? And the pharmacist or the doctor is dispensing medication. Now he knows what he's doing and he knows what is appropriate for you. So he's dispensing what he feels that is appropriate. Then now you're objecting to everything. So you won't find the type of responses, but he's saying something and you're responding. So he feels good, his heart opens up towards you, and the medication is taking its effect because you're taking with that degree of confidence and trust in the doctor. So that thing is having its effect, and the doctor feels also more open towards you. Otherwise, if he's, I'm giving this, I don't know if he's going to accept it or not. I don't know what's going to be the responses. How is he going to take? What is he going to do? Is he going to accept? Or will he put up 5 or 10 questions against me that why I've given him this type of medication? So the doctor doesn't feel open, he doesn't feel clear, and the patient as well, he won't respond favorably, he won't respond correctly. So this is called, they call it kharkhasha, that is a hurdle, a thorn on the way. And the thorn must be all removed. He's saying something, now you don't apply your mind, why did he say this? Right? You just take it in that stride, let it go, take it in the flow. And you'll find it will be so beautiful, so manageable, and so enjoyable. But now, the moment you put up an obstruction, now you use your mind against his prescription, as though this is the flow and you're going in the opposite direction. Now, you can understand how difficult it will be to go, but you're going in the opposite direction. Go with the flow, you'll find the solutions, you'll find the answer yourself later on. Right? And this happens everywhere. This taqlid is following. Although you don't understand completely, but this following goes for everything. Right? Now you're going to learn medicine, right? You have to learn English. You have to write composition, dictation, whatever it is. They're teaching you English, right? Now you say every day, I don't know why. What the hell they got to teach me English for? I don't want to know English here. I don't need to learn English. I have come here to learn medication. What the hell have these people have got to teach me English for? Right? So you're going to object and you'll find that you're going uphill, you're going against the flow. But if you just go and work with the flow, later on will you realize that you need the language as a vehicle. Right? As a vehicle you will require it to practice medication. But are you going to, for everything, you put up an opposition, you put up an objection, then it becomes difficult. The doctor feels it. If he senses it, then he will find it difficult to treat you and work with you. But if he sees you're working with the flow, then his heart opens, mashallah, he is just conforming, mashallah, he is conforming, he is moving with us. So he will give you more, and very easily, very quickly, very swiftly, you'll find that you are moving. So this is that thorn that occurs in most people's hearts. Time, most people do have it. Unfortunately, we've got a little bit of a Western and an educated environment, and this happens even more. Compared to an Eastern and uneducated environment, that you don't have this. That is why you find in Eastern countries the iman of people are stronger. They may not be too intelligent and too bright or too prosperous and wealthy, but overall the iman is much stronger. Our iman. Right. Shaitan was once speaking to Imam Razi, you see. So Shaitan says Imam Razi, whose iman is stronger? Your iman or the presence of Imam Razi? Base. And that farmer, he just inherited it from his grandfathers. So that's an inherited one. And this one here is very well, soundly researched. So mine is stronger than his. So Shaitan says, no, you miss the point. You will tender arguments and I will break your arguments. You tender any argument, I will break it. Right. So that's the hal, the condition, the state of your iman. So you present an argument, and I will break it, I will crush it. You present another argument, I will crush it. But you see that farmer, when you come with me, and you see the state of his iman. The state of iman is totally different. His iman is far superior and greater than yours. So he says, alright, let's go and try it out. So they go to that farmer and person. So Shaitan is asking, how many gods are there? He just wants one god. So Shaitan then asks him, what's your proof? What's your dalil? What's your proof? So the farmer says, if you ever say this more than one god, you see this axe I got, I'll chop your head for you. So they quietly just moved away. Now Shaitan is telling Imam Razi, this type of people, how are you going to break head with them? How can you reason with these people? You can't reason with them. It's beyond reasoning. You see that? You can't reason. You people have to reason. And your reason I can break. All the reasoning I can break. Chop you. Ye to larne marne ke upar utar jate hai. Hey, you try to crush you straight away. You see, this farmer, his iman is stronger than your. You see, so intelligent. But you see, his iman is stronger. It's a taqlidi iman. So Musarrad explained to him that you see, it's not that Gangohi Sahib didn't understand this, understood all this. Hari Sahib understood all these things here. But Hari Sahib wasn't a physician of a muhaddis teaching hadith. Right? And Gangohi Sahib did the both. The both. Then his saying will have a different effect. If he advances, it will have a different effect. Simple example is, if, for example, the child is not talking, is not learning about, so the father will find it difficult to explain the child that why don't you learn your sabak, right? The child learning sabak also, right? The child say that. So if the once the child will tell the ustad, this time is learning sabak. Because the ustad, he reads, does the same. He says that the effect will be different. That explains one of his personal experiences in Calcutta. The year that we went to 26, the same was even for the eye operation. So whilst he was there, one person even complained that the school principal has asked my child to shave off the beard. And I can't allow the teacher to compel my child to shave off the beard. But the teacher called me up, so I asked him not to stop my child from keeping the beard, from growing the beard. So he turned around, the principal turned around and said, "You, if you are so insistent on your child keeping a beard, then why don't you keep a beard? You don't have a beard yourself, and you insist that the child must keep a beard." So he said, "No, I felt very embarrassed. I didn't know what to say." So he says that you should have given a strong answer. You should have given a dynamic answer. Simple answer you should have. Every person likes the best for his child, right? He have not have made certain achievements in his life, but he will wish the same for his child. Now he may not be literate or a learned, his child to be a doctor, Hafiz or to a Molana. Though he is interested, he can't read, but he doesn't want to see his child backwards. Right? So, similarly, I'm good in my religion, you know. Maybe But I don't want to be backward in his religion. I'm doing this, it's wrong of me to do it. Alright? To see my child going backwards in religion. Not only see it, in many homes it happens. Right? The father smokes, but the father says, the child, smoke, I'll break your legs for you. It doesn't happen. Father does it, but he knows it's wrong. And the force of the habit, and he carries on doing it. But he can't see his child doing the same thing. Right? That was the second thing. Start the service, the teacher asked me, why Hari Sabha? So Hari Sabha was practicing medicine. He was practicing medicine. Why was he teaching this? So Hari Sabha said it, then that hurdle would have remained. Now how to overcome the hurdle? Put him onto someone who's practicing the both. If he's practicing the both, if he says it, then the mind will take it much more eagerly to take it. And you will find that hurdle is over. And he's receiving as he ought to be receiving. So this speaks about another aspect as well, it's also quite important. Sometimes it happens that someone is doing something. So, you don't pretend, we should not pretend to become person in charge in the place, you know, in any place, in any institution. We don't pretend to be responsible and person that is totally in charge. You know. But in charge, then why why you pursue the thing? The course on hadith, Anas radiallahu anhu, times people will say, no, I'm here in Munkar. To enjoin the good and forbid the evil. But they don't understand the parameters. You have understood a hukam, a command, but you only understood it from one perspective. You didn't understand the other perspective of it. So then, you don't have the equation complete. Right? I say, you know, sugar sweetens, for example. You take the sea water and you add sugar. So you have to understand it completely. You have to understand it completely, then you'll get that finish. Now, you didn't understand it completely. Adding sugar. Hey, what is this? Sea water. You want to finish. How are you going to get that? Can't get it. But the answer, you know, he served Rasulullah for 10 years. And many a times, Rasulullah would tell him something. And he was young, so he would say, no, I'm not going to do it. And sometimes Rasulullah would tell him, don't do this. And he would say, no, I will do it. Rasulullah never shouted me. For all the period, he never shouted me. For something that I didn't do, he didn't ask me, why didn't you do it? And for something that I did, he didn't ask me, why did you do it? Right? Now, when you are working with a person, it's a way how to work. Otherwise, you make the person defiant. Make the person spiteful. It doesn't only go for our friends or people or the public, even our children, our wives, etc. Right? We need to understand how to get them to work on that line that we want them to work. Maulana Phulpuri is Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahab's sheikh. So he was originally from India, and after the partition he had moved. After some days, he had come back to India for a small holiday, small visit, whatever it was. Assalamu alaikum. Ji, Mizaj Sharif. Wa alaikum assalam. Mizaj Garami. Alhamdulillah. بہت بہتر شکریہ بہت بہت آپ کی مہربانی آپ نے خیال کیا آپ نے کرم فرمایا آمین آمین جی آپ بھی بہت بہت یاد فرمائے اشرہ اخیرہ بھی شروع ہو رہا ہے جی ضرور. آمین 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 آمین. انشاءاللہ آپ سے بھی بہت بہت دعا کی درخواست. بہت بہتر. وعلیکم السلام. Asked him, Rahmatullah Ali, are they doing this because of the love of Islam and the respect for the Sharia, or are they doing it because of the fear of President Ayub Khan, of the Prime Minister? Such a way that the hearts are accepting wholeheartedly. Right? Otherwise, in our presence they'll be doing it. In our absence, they've got a different behavior. I want them to observe parada. Alright, in your presence that they are doing it. And afterwards, they turn back to the same. Because you haven't created that type of love, that type of bond, that type of muhabbat, you and your wife, or you and your children. Are they just waiting? And the day we get our freedom from our father, that we'll do everything. You will mentally appease yourself and say, no, no, see, I did my share of it, I've done it. Now, they must understand what they're doing. So that's not the way. The way is to win their hearts, win their confidence. Talk to them with love, with respect, etc. See what their problems and how to rectify them. It takes a lot of time, a lot of sabr, a lot of patience, a lot of time, etc. And you'll get them working on the line that you want. So this disciplining of the mind and making the mindset, it takes quite a bit of time, a lot of time it takes. One needs to be patient, one needs to be tolerant, perseverant, and he must be consistent, he must try to work. But he can't be now trying to expedite the thing, straight away, happen yesterday. So Musa explained to him that this will not have a life. And now you see in Pakistan, what wrong does it have? All under the name of an Islamic Republic. Even worse, say an Islamic country, Islamic Republic. What doesn't go on? Everything goes on. Everything goes on. The real problem is happening. The Muzaris that are there. For what percentage? If you look at the whole Pakistan, what percentage? Obviously, not even 5%. They're covering, not even 5 or 10%. That's maximum. And yet, they are an Islamic country for over 50 years. 46, they got the independence. So now it's already 52 years. Or in fact, 62 years. 46, they got the... 47, they got the independence. So it's already 51 years. 61 years, I'm sorry. How, they can't achieve it. So the way to achieve it is this way, that you win people towards take it out, it will take time. But you have to be consistent, continuous. Rather, the wrong is gone so much that from the bottom to the top, you won't find an officer who's not involved in corruption, in bribery, corruption. You won't find. Although it's an Islamic country, but you won't find this. Some people stand up on the name of truth against a massage parlor that was doing harm things. And they all got fired, they all got killed. 2,000-3,000 people were killed. Hmm? Orphans and yatim women, all that. Have you heard about it? 2 years ago in Pakistan, what happened? So people that want to stand up for the truth in the defense of truth, they can't stand up. Right? But to the contrary, any wrong group, any Christian group, any wrong group wants to do any missionary work, it's got all the license, all the freedom to do it. So they have got all the power to do whatever they want. You can't do, you can't spread your Islam. You can't do the thing as you want. So what we are getting at here is, you see someone in the etiquette, etc., you see someone with something that is not appropriate, right? Then what should your responses be? What should you do? You see something not right. So you don't consider yourself to be in charge, totally responsible. But yes, if you got some special affinity with someone, very special affinity, and you've got a good, he's taking to you, then you're respectable, lovable way you explain the person. Once, twice is enough. After that, then don't keep on pursuing the person. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Then it becomes a personal thing. Then he'll keep away from you and you will keep away from him. Once you mention it to him, you've done your duty now. Why must you keep pursuing? Why must you keep nagging the person? Then you'll find now there's an altercation. Something happening now. But it is you that has caused this thing. So there's a way, there's an approach how to, if you've got a love and a liking and an affinity with someone, how to draw it closer, there's a way to do it. And if you don't, then you will find that person is becoming spiteful or is turning defiant. And now then you appease yourself by saying, no, I have done my work, he must sort it out himself. I'm not responsible for this. But that's not the way. That's not the way. You have to be patient, you have to be tolerant, lovable, kind. You'll find things working out, but just that, you have to be at it all the time. Don't lose focus. You know, etiquette, like you say, don't lose focus. That's a most dangerous thing in etiquette, where you lose focus. I'm phoning here, talking to this person. That person now, your mind is wandering in a lot of other things, right? No, you can also see anything. Right? Now, you don't have to focus on Allah Ta'ala. What we are saying is, get Allah Ta'ala to be established in your heart. Let that be established. And after that, everything will take shape after that. Once that has happened, then everything will take shape. If that doesn't come, how do you expect that things to take shape? First we need to have the foundation. Everything will take shape afterwards. If you haven't got the foundation, you're worried about the brick, and you're worried about the roof, and you're worried about the windows, but you don't have the foundations right. So get the foundations right, and everything else will take shape afterwards. Allah Tawfiq.